The corporate culture of a Wall Street giant is in the legal crosshairs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There is news two women who used to work at Goldman Sachs have asked a court in New York to give class action status to their gender discrimination case. Max Abelson is a reporter for Bloomberg News who got a look at what the plaintiffs gave to the judge to try to back up their case. Mr. Abelson, good morning.
Hi, David.
Now, the allegations are not new, but they are not about isolated creeps at Goldman. It's about the corporate culture. Give me a sense of some of the accusations about what might go on at Goldman.
No, you're right. They're not new. I mean, on the one hand, there's some dry stuff like numbers. So it says, for example, female vice presidents earn 21% less than men, and then about 23% fewer female vice presidents are promoted to MD at the firm. But then it gets a little bit more cultural than that. And what you have is some descriptions of life inside Goldman Sachs from women who used to work there. Women talking about how it's a boys' club inside the firm where there's binge drinking and women are sexualized or ignored was a phrase ring and played. You have a story about a woman overhearing men calling women bimbos on the trading floor.
Now, what happens if a court does grant this class action status?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to point out right away that these are just allegations and that Goldman Sachs has denied the woman's claims and they're fighting the case. But I think it will sure get a lot of attention if this is made into a class action lawsuit against Goldman Sachs, which is not something we see every day.
Because by definition, a class action lawsuit allows other people to join the lawsuit without separately litigating.
That's right. And, you know, I think it's interesting to point out this suit will not be looking to collect women partners, if I'm remembering correctly. Instead, it's associates and vice presidents who have been at the firm for a few years, maybe many years, and they're the ones describing having to witness over a long period of time to the institutionalized chauvinism.
Max Abelson at Bloomberg News, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
The U.S. Marshals Service has announced that all the bitcoins it auctioned off on Friday went to a single bidder. The almost 30,000 bitcoins have now been transferred over electronically because bitcoin is a virtual currency. One perhaps unintended byproduct here, the auction may have given bitcoin added legitimacy. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
The U.S. Marshals Service routinely seizes the property of criminals. The marshals only auction stuff off that's legal. You wouldn't have a heroin auction, for example. But the Marshals Service did auction the bitcoin it seized from the black market website Silk Road. Wedbush Securities analyst Gil Luria says the auction is a stamp of approval.
Because bitcoin is a legitimate asset, and now the U.S. Marshals Service has acknowledged that.
But even with that legitimacy, bitcoin still isn't easy to trade. To get it, you have to go to unregulated markets in places like Slovenia or China. Still, CoinDesk U.S. editor Pete Rizzo says the auction helps.
Is it raising awareness beyond where bitcoin was maybe a month ago? I think absolutely. Does it still have a long ways to go? And I think yes.
The new respectability has pushed up the price of bitcoin. It fell when the marshals first announced their auction, but it's made up the lost ground and then some. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And consumer product conglomerates like Unilever and PepsiCo make us healthier. Some top corporate brass at what is called the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado have been reflecting on the role they might play in making society healthy, or at least healthier. KERA's Lauren Silverman reports.
For 5 years, Derek Yock pushed PepsiCo to create healthier foods. Yes, that's the company known for Cheetos and Mountain Dew. His job was to lower sugar and cut down sodium. The response was both sweet and salty.
There are parts of the company where the support and the awareness of the need to change was extremely high. But of course, there were many who isolated me.
Yock was brought on by PepsiCo's CEO, who saw potential for a multinational corporation to influence health, in part, he says, through hummus.
While I was there, I saw certainly the growth of hummus. PepsiCo is now one of the largest producers of hummus. We saw the launch of dairy products for the first time, and we saw a range of other healthier products being tested.
Still, the company wasn't willing to invest as much into research and new products as Yock had hoped. He's now with a health research group called the Vitality Institute. Yock says across the board, CEOs are starting to pay attention to health.
They include companies like Samsung, Microsoft, General Electric, IBM, Qualcomm, small startups. They're looking at a route to profitability through new products to promote better health.
Rather than wait for consensus or for the government to move first, drugstore chain CVS is trying to healthify the goods behind its counters. CVS made waves when it announced that this fall it will stop selling all tobacco products. Troy Brennan is executive vice president.
We're beginning to know that we have to do something about taking better care of ourselves. And so companies that do those sorts of things and make those kinds of steps, I think consumers are attracted to that, and that's the business interest.
Cutting tobacco will wipe out an estimated $2 billion a year in sales, Brennan says. But in the long term, he's not worried.
There were a lot of people who were holding their breath that the stock didn't go in half. And instead, the stock went up.
Sometimes the healthy choice can be good for both the company and the customer. In Aspen, I'm Lauren Silverman for Marketplace.
And we're always on the lookout for you for interesting real estate propositions. There's word that an entire Wild West town in the Badlands of South Dakota is for sale. The town of Sweat has two residents, and the centerpiece is a tavern with old wagon wheels stuck to the front, ice machine by the front door, and all the prairie grass you can eat. Asking price for the whole thing, $399,000. The tavern, I note in the pictures online, seems to have a pretty nice pressed particle board bar. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.